Might just be a two-man show.
Yeah.
Hey, can you hear me, guys?
I can hear you now. Are you there?
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, I was sitting there talking, and you guys couldn't hear me anymore, so yeah. Sorry about that.
No, no.
Ian pumped you up and said you're a dick.
Ian, come on now. I'm mad you barely know me. I'm a nice guy.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty obvious who the dick is, and that's Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm the one wearing a Chelios jersey.
Is it the Chelios jersey with the fake tomahawks? But anyway, listen.
Oh, these are real. From 1994.
Yeah. With your Ronic 27 on the back.
That was fake.
So what do you know about Peter LeBlanc, Andy, if anything?
Very little. I mean, honestly, it's one of those trades where you go, eh. You know, I mean, I hate to be that way. I mean Peter LeBlanc has a family. I'm sure a lot of people are excited for him to be moved along. But the guy that's coming back, you know, I looked at the numbers. The only thing I can think of is this, is there's definitely an issue with the Ice Hogs where they need to get a little tougher and a little bigger. They went through January. They got their asses handed to them. I mean, they pretty much had three wins and the rest were losses. This was a team that was before the Christmas time was a team that was looking at a playoff spot. You know, obviously, you know, they had a lot of NHLers on there, you know, be it Marcus Kruger, Brandon Bolig, don't get me started with him, you know, Shaw. And I Ben Smith is obviously not on the team. He's still recovering from the hand injury. And he's a guy that I feel that would be on the team on the front line, and Saad would probably be in Rockford. But
save that. He played well tonight.
You know what, Mike? That's fine. You know what? The sun shines on a monkey's ass. You know what I mean? You know the old saying.
Yeah, but it's seven games, not 40. I mean,
I agree. He actually, you know what? It's funny because going into tonight, I had a mindset to bash our Arab friend from Pittsburgh. but to be honest with you, he was the only one that really showed up tonight. I know, you know, that's harsh to me.
Impressed when he got past Elder, but
yeah, he might be.
You know what? Eddie O was making a really nice point. Eddie O made a really nice point when he got past Elder on that play, and he made that shot on Luongo. He should have faked for a second, got Luongo to move a little bit.
Did you just call Luongo Malongo? Because I think that's a really good nickname, Malongo.
No, your connection is shitty with your iPhone.
Shut up.
All right. So the other part of the news was, it says, in addition, the Blackhawks AHL affiliate, the Rockford Ice Hogs, acquired Matthew Beaudoin, B-E-A-U-D-O-I-N, from the Hershey Bears in exchange for future considerations. And it says... Well, it says that the guy that got back is 28 years old. He's appeared in 32 games this season with Hershey, tallying 10 points, 3 goals, 7 assists. And, I'm sorry, earlier we talked about LeBlanc here. I had his stats here, well, at least from this year, apparently. 24, has 12 points, 4 goals, 8 assists, and 34 games this year with the Ice Hawks. So, a couple of minor moves, but I don't think really anything... either way to get that excited about or that depressed about, from my point of view.
You know the first thing I thought of when I saw that trade? Well, that's Stan. Minor shit, really not doing anything. Doesn't matter.
Exactly, doesn't matter. You know, let's just do this now. I think it's out of the way as well. Mike, you and I were talking on Facebook, and I told you I would start writing down whenever I see some of your rants on the internet, whether it be Facebook or Twitter, I would try to copy them down, and then you could go off on them during the show.
Good, because I don't even remember what the rant was.
Well, you know what? It was only a brief couple of sentences. You were upset, and I'm sure that's something we've talked about on the show before, but upset about the Penguins being on national television somehow.
Oh, God. Dude, that has pissed me off for years. Especially since, and I hold a grudge, 1992. Was it 92 when the Hawks lost?
91.
Bandwagon, right. Bandwagon, good. Fan.
Yeah. The only thing I remember is I had Jeff Bagley next to me in my locker, and that little fucker was a Penguins fan.
Jeff Bagley?
The degenerate gambler, yes. He was a Penguins fan. I yelled at him during the series. Anyway, yeah, I've hated the Penguins ever since then. And now, since, you know, I did take some years off with hockey because of, you know, the way the NHL works.
Well, you have an arthritic condition.
What?
Well, you know, the arthritic condition. You know, the drinking habit, but go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Bill Wirtz would push any fan away.
Exactly.
And he did for a few years. Once he got rid of, first it was Roenick, then Chelios, and it's like, all right, I don't need to watch this. And then once they load up with Russian hockey players, I was done. Because you know me with Russian hockey players, especially when they're bad. And the Hawks were bad with a bunch of Russian hockey players for a few years. But anyway, yeah. The Penguins, they want to, NHL Network, the NHL, NBC, they all want to shove Crosby down your throat. And not everybody likes a little cocksucker. He's a fucking little bitch. He's a good player. He's overpraised. And they try to market him like hell, and it aggravates the hell out of me. There is no fucking reason for them to be on TV for every goddamn game they got this week. I'm watching a shit game. What the hell was it? Was it Flyers and the Islanders or something? I'm looking like, well, this game sucks. And no, I think it was Penguins.
Penguins. That's probably why you were ranting about it. Because you were saying that because of the fact that you don't you have AT&T UVerse, you don't have any hockey option to watch. Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, fuck you AT&T. But I'm watching. Yeah, Penguins Islanders. I'm like, well, this game is fucking kind of worthless. And then they go and show and they advertise it that the Penguins are on TV for. I mean, there's like four games the rest of the week. I'm like, it's got to be every fucking game they got the rest of the week. This is bullshit. What the fuck kind of crap is this? I got to watch. I'm going to be forced to watch this dick every fucking game this week now? I mean, you know, Crosby is a nice player, but you know what? Why don't you spread it around a little bit? You can try to fucking put some West Coast teams on there. Even try to fucking boost Joe Thornton or fucking Marty Havlett or something.
Mm.
Fucking spread it around. You're going to promote the goddamn thing.
Hey, speaking of spreading it around, you know, Mike, I disagree with you. I think Sidney Crosby's amazing. I think he's the best female hockey player that's ever spread his legs.
I was going to say, if you look at him, suck his pussy
and,
then.
I mean, honestly, man, you know, you're judging him against Matt. And you got to realize he's a cunt. And you got to realize he's a female. So you really should take it easy on him, man. He's the best female that's ever laced him up, Mike, and I don't know what you're talking about.
I got my 5-year-old son even said, he sees the 87 with the black and yellow, and he goes, hey, there's that punk. I taught him that at a young age.
Uh-huh, I see.
Because the first hockey stick my son demanded that I buy for him was a black stick at Target, and it had Sidney Crosby all over it. And his face is on the blade, and I said, well, you can have this stick, but we're going to go home. We're going to put hockey tape on that blade. He says, why? Because the guy on the face on it, he's a punk. He's a punk? I'm like, yeah, he's a little punk. That's why. And I had to refrain from calling him a little bitch. But, yeah, my son will see it on TV, and he saw the Penguins a couple times this week, and he goes, hey, there's that punk. And my son even referenced the other day. Last week. He's on the ice skating in the backyard, and tape starts coming off the bottom of the stick. He goes, Dad, we got to put more tape on this stick. I'm like, we do? Like, yeah, it's coming off. That punk is going to show his face. Love my son.
You're teaching them well. Well, you know, there was no section on here for Ian's rants. I don't really have a rant per se. I guess maybe we can talk about it when we get to the game, but the coach of the Minnesota Wild, is he a goofy-looking bastard? Is it just me?
Fuck yeah, he is.
Did you see this guy? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure if it's the glasses or that weird facial hair he has. That's
or the size of his head. Ian, the size of his head. No man has his head. It looked like a fucking little pixie doll. I mean, his head's way too small. I was looking at honestly, guys, I watched the game. And every time they went to him and they kept justifying, like, hey, this guy was, you know, a coach under this guy or whatever. I kept wondering about, you know, is this guy need a little, he's a little baby and needs a bottle. I'm sorry. Look like a retard.
It's like when Beetlejuice got his head shrunk.
Yes, exactly. 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 Completely craziness.
But you know what? Speaking of coaches and the Penguins, Ian, you saw this one. Fuck. What the hell is the Penguins coach name? Damn it. The Dan something. Fuck. Anyway, that dude, I don't know who's trying to be who, but he looks like Chandler from Friends. Either way, he's a douche just for looking like him. Matt, the hell's his name? Matthew Perry. That's it. Come on, okay. Did you not look like Matthew Perry?
Well, yeah, the head coach of the Penguins is Dan Bilsema.
That's it, yes. Yeah, I put his name on Twitter. I spelled it out, actually, even I couldn't remember it.
There you go.
Looks like Matthew Perry. Either way, Matthew Perry's a douche. So.
Oh, yeah. He's getting paid some good money, so let's not throw stones.
Well, he ain't putting no food on my table. Fuck him.
Very well. Okay, well, so let's get into the games here, and then I guess at the end we can touch back on some minor league stuff if we have something to talk about, which we might, considering there may be some injuries here. So let's go back to January 26th, the game against the Blue Jackets. The Blackhawks won the game by the final score of 3-2. Blackhawk goals in the game scored by Bolin, Bickle, and Jonathan Toews. We did have a fight in this game, Jared Boal for Columbus, and Jamal Mayers for the Hawks. Jamal Mayers also got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty coming off of that fight as well. The Blue Jackets outshot the Hawks 26-24 in the game. Corey Crawford got the start in the net. Duncan Keith was -2 in the game. Seabrook -1. Brookbank -1. Hjalmarsson a +3 in this game. Sharp and Kane tied with a team-high 4 shots. In terms of ice leaders, Duncan Keith at 25-35 and Seabrook 23-10. I'm trying to think what else I had on here to quote from their coach, but that really doesn't have anything important to do. Oh, that's what it was. There was a, I guess, somewhat controversial moment in the game when a apparent goal for the Blue Jackets was waved off by the officials because of interference with Corey Crawford, and I would say some folks have pointed to the fact that, well, obviously that would have been a potential tying goal in the game, so Lord knows how the game would have swung that way. But obviously, you know, they called what they called, and that's how it goes. So Hawks won the game 3-2, as I said. So, Mike, let's start with you. Do you recall this game? Do you have any thoughts about this game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. I was reading a tweet here. I got a Canuck friend of mine. I was talking a little shit during a game with him. But anyway, yeah, there was Minnesota played a little bit different. They weren't so much...
Well, you know, Columbus, my friend.
Oh, Columbus.
Yeah.
You're talking about, oh.
Well,
hey, like, welcome to the party, jackass.
Yeah, no shit. Said, offhand, I don't remember much. No.
Yeah.
And I did watch the game, but I don't remember the Hawks won.
They did.
And it was a boring fucking game.
Yeah, I think it was a game they were fortunate to come away with the win. It seems like the past couple of games they've kind of been a little lucky to get the win. Just kind of, okay, they won, but it wasn't that impressive. Andy, how about you? Is this a game that you recall any memories of?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it was one of those games where you brought up a good point with Jamal Mayers. And I have a huge issue right now with what's going on with the fourth line. I love Frolik, love Kruger, but Jamal Mayers, I mean, he tried stepping up. You know, Kruger got blasted. Was it a dirty hit? Not really. But, you know, Kruger, you know, it was one of those things where Jamal tried, you know, stepping up for his teammate, and then he just basically fell on the ice, got punched three times, and sent off to the penalty box, and I was a little disappointed. I've been disappointed with Bolig as well. So it goes to the point where, you know, I ask you guys, I'm happy with the fourth line, you know, the winger. I mean, Kruger and Frolik are busting their ass. I think they're like the shining light. These guys are doing awesome. But as far as the tough guy goes, the guys, you know, as far as the guys that's going to get into a fight, I'm not seeing it, man. And Jamal Mares definitely didn't step up. Maybe
he's no, just, I heard he, I already slipped. I already slipped right away.
Maybe it's time for him to retire. I don't know.
Well, it sure seems like it. He was another scratch tonight. And Q doesn't – he didn't like playing at the end of the year last year in the playoffs. And
he was also
scratch tonight. And I heard in that fight, before he really got to lay anything, he slipped and fell.
Well, yeah, he did. I mean, he did. He fell on his ass. And it was on his fell. And the guy that he was fighting against, you know, definitely didn't took it easy on him because Jamal's definitely got a good reputation around the league. But I tell you what, though, guys, who's going to strike fear into the opponents? It's not going to be Jamal Mares. It sure to hell is not going to be Little Mittens, which is what I like to call Brandon Bolig, Little Mittens.
Why? I mean, why do you call him Little Mittens?
Because look at what he's been doing. He starts fights when it's like in a prop to. And Mike, he doesn't do anything that's really worth a shit.
He did something really smart against Minnesota. I remember that.
Tell me when. Go ahead.
I forget who the fuck it was. Somebody was trying to go with him. And I remember, because I only heard it on the radio, but Troy Murray was explaining it, that somebody's trying to go with him, and he backed off of it because there was going to be a penalty call, and the Hawks
I know what player you're talking about.
Yeah, I was
that
in
was,
a car
that
hearing.
That was the one thing he did well, you know, because they tried to antagonize him. They tried egging him on. And
you know what? He went out with Paul Bissonnette, of course, and Paul Bissonnette isn't – he's no Bob Probert, but he's a veteran fighter. That's all he does. You know, he's one of the last goons left around. But, you know, he went toe-to-toe with him. I mean, he didn't really win it. He didn't lose it. But for a young kid like that, it's not a bad enforcer to have in the Hawks. Of course, I'd love him to have a guy like Bob Probert around, but I don't have a problem with Bolig for the minutes he plays and for what he does.
I don't know, but he's
especially
being
for being
Mike,
as young as he is.
He can't – but the thing is, also, if you can play hockey – you know, that was the thing about Proby. The
he
thing
can
that made
play, he
Proby
can play
amazing.
A lot more than John Scott. Are you there, Andy?
I'm here, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, he can play a lot more than John Scott.
Oh, no, without a doubt. But that's really not the, I hope that's not the, you know, the gold standard, Mike, is John Scott.
Well, I mean, that's whose place he took, and what do you got to replace him? I mean,
well, it was sure as hell named Dan Carcillo.
Who's he fucked up?
That's what I mean. I mean, my point is this:
he skates around, runs his mouth, and does stupid shit. He ain't scaring nobody.
We all agree with that. I totally agree with you. But here's the deal. You got Brandon Bolig, who, like what you just said, he really is just a kid. You know, and he should be an apprentice to the tough guy. But, you know, he's forced to be the tough guy because the Hawks have no tough guys. But here's the way the Hawks are playing right now, and if they keep playing that way, even tonight with the loss to the Canucks, I don't see any team being able to skate with us the entire year the way we skated tonight. And I know the average fan looks at it like, hey, you know what, we lost, and blah, 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 blah. We are skating 100%. And you remember back in the day, especially last year, especially when we got ahead, we had lapses. That was the worst thing about us, man, even when we won the cup. we would have lapses. We'd have those like times when I was just like, whatever, pass the puck over here. Oh shit, we're not much for goals. We have 30 seconds to play. Bam, 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 bam. We'll score three goals. And these guys are so rock solid. We have such a highly talented group of guys, but when the pressure's not on, they have a tendency to lower the blood pressure. You guys understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not that upset. I mean, I agree with you that nobody can skate with them, which the Canucks, I tweeted earlier that the Canucks were playing a little different style against the Hawks.
Big time, Mike.
They weren't playing a trap, but they weren't skating with them. They were just playing a little tighter in the neutral zone and trying to fuck them up. They didn't want to skate with them.
Yep.
But you know what? Here's an example of like tonight where like what's his name? Jim Chaplin on Twitter. He's a pretty well known Hawk fan. Pretty smart guy. Puck Jim, I think he goes by. I was bitching about whose fucking goal was it? I think it was Sod's. Yeah. Sod's almost goal where it went like three quarters over the line. And I think it was Eller that reached a stick in there and knocked it out. So after that, I played, oh, it's going to be one of those fucking nights. Keith rides the fucking rail on two posts, and then Sod gets three quarters over the line. You know, that's pretty much what I was bitching about. It's like, no puck luck. Hawks should have had two goals right there. I mean, not saying it should have been, they weren't goals, you know, they were not. But when you start seeing shit like that, it's like you're wondering where your puck luck is at. And you know that you need that. At time, you need that to win the cup. You know, puck luck in general. But the Hawks didn't have that tonight, it seemed. They had a few times they should have scored and could have, and it didn't happen. That's why I said, oh, fuck. It better not be one of these nights.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, Mike. And, you know, I can just even if I wanted to. It was one of those things where it was like it was a really good game and we're on the road and sometimes you just gotta say, hey, hats off to the other team. But I will say this. I will never ever put Patrick Sharp in a shootout ever
what
again.
What the fuck is wrong with Quenneville? And then he puts here, you know what? We gotta ask Tim Sassone this because Sassone will answer you. What the fuck is Quenneville's problem with putting Hossa in the shootout? Does Hossa not want to do it, or what?
Well, then Nick Leddy. Even his fourth guy was Nick fucking Leddy. Don't get me wrong, but I'm sorry. I'm you know, I can skate up and do a ham fucking half-ass fucking, you know, haymaker from fucking, you know, 10 feet out. You got to be kidding me. I mean, seriously.
I would put Duncan and Keith out before him.
Why not Sod?
Yeah, what's wrong with Sod?
Yeah. Well, why don't we put David Bolin out, who's obviously hurt. By the way, guys, do you guys have any visibility on him?
No, there hasn't been anything online about it yet or anything. I'm sure.
Yeah, well, that's a fucking hoax.
Well, it'll be lower body. We're going to evaluate him tomorrow. That'll be the quote in the story.
Sassone was sending some people straight, though. I guess there was some people screaming at Sassone, oh, fuck, he's out for the year and all this shit.
You know what? That shit came from... Go ahead.
I don't know where it came from, but I just retweeted
it. It came from Vancouver.
No, that shit... Wow, but
I just saw Sassone telling people, take it easy.
No. Fucking Pat Foley during the game said that when Bolin was going down the tunnel, he saw Bolin trying to break his stick against the wall. So he took that to mean that, well, as a player, you know when you're severely hurt. So he took that as a sign that Bolin was breaking his stick in anger as a sign that he knew he was seriously injured.
Pat, so, put the fucking Jack Daniels down.
So a few other things before we move on. You were talking earlier about Jim Chaplin. His Twitter handle is Jimmy Chap 69.
Yeah.
So
he's pretty good. He's pretty good to read.
Yeah, there's him, and then there also is a Puck Jim. But Jim Chaplin, he does a podcast with Greg Stewart called The 300 Level. which you can.
Yeah, you know what? That's where I thought I knew him from. I thought it's come on 300 level.
Yes, that's where he's there. So it's the 300level.net is the site to go for more Blackhawk talk there. Just to touch back on something we were talking about earlier in Jamal Mayers, I know, Mike, you pointed out that he didn't play a lot last year. At the end of the season in the playoffs, he was benched by Quenneville for what reason, a lot of mysteriousness surrounding that. And obviously,
I thought it was a personal thing with Quenneville, and then all of a sudden they re-signed him. I was like, well, that was odd. Because me and Andy talking on the phone all the time, at the end of the year, it was like, well, that's it. Mayers is gone, you know?
Right. Well, so, I mean, obviously he's just being, you know, or he's just being viewed more as an extra part or whatever it is now, but also try to keep in the back of your mind out there, he also was the representative in those union meetings. And
coaches, though? No, Quenneville was a player, though.
Well, when old man Wirtz ran the team, if you were a union rep, you were usually out on your ass real quick. And maybe Rocky doesn't run it that way, but maybe they'll say, you know what? Hey, sit down, buddy. You ain't playing out there. Like, granted, you know, he got in the one game, so maybe they're just sitting him out there, but...
I don't know, man. Quenneville was a player. I can't see him wanting to put up with that shit.
No, but you got to realize it, though, but he didn't play in the playoffs. He had a big mouth on Twitter during the entire, you know, bidding process here with the whole strike thing. I'm not saying that's why he's not playing, but, you know, obviously Jamal's done.
Yeah, he's not the guy we feared in St. Louis.
Oh, hell no.
Not at this point in his career. All right, so let's go to January 27th, the game against the hated Detroit Red Wings. Blackhawks won that game, final score of 2-1 in overtime. Blackhawk goals in that game scored by Duncan Keith, and the game winner was scored by Nicoletti in overtime. No fights, which obviously not a shocker considering the matchup here. Red Wings outshot the Hawks 30-27. Once again, Corey Crawford got the start in the net. Blackhawks called for 6 penalties in this game, and 4 of them were in the second period, which was
This is a subject we haven't talked about.
Very problematic having all the penalties in that period. I thought they were extremely fortunate to come out of that period the way they did, because it was not good taking all the penalties. What did I want to have on this? A quote from Duncan Keith. That's not important. Brent Seabrook with team high, 27 minutes, followed by Keith at 26, 59th. This is about the same thing. For a leak, team high, 4 shots in that game. Andy, let's go to you. What are your thoughts on this game outside of the penalties there?
Well, I tell you what, I was very proud of the team because it was almost like one of those games where it didn't seem to be like a whole lot to maybe the average fan, but there was no Nicholas Lidstrom. And Lidstrom's been there since 1991. And, you know, I hate to get emotional or be all like, you know, like one of these, like, you know, I'm not a Detroit fan by any means, but I expected them to kind of lay down and die. And they did not. And they came at us with, you know, the typical trite, you know, Blackhawk rivalry. And it was a very good game. It's actually I thought we were going to destroy them. And obviously that didn't happen. But one thing that I realized was the Hawks were coming off a long schedule and they were definitely fatigued. And next thing you know, I saw the Hawks trying to grind it out. And when I just took a step back and I watched the game, I watched two hockey teams going at one another, and it was just one of those things where it was like the NHL grind, man, and it was just pure hockey. It was a really nice – guys, I'm going to get a little emotional here, but it was a perfect hockey game as far as – yeah, the Hawks were fatigued, but yet it was like skill on skill. The Lions going after one another, and – Quenneville and Babcock, they know one another, and it was just one of those things where, man, if you don't like hockey, even though the score wasn't that high, you know, this was a quintessential Midwest game. I don't know how you guys feel, man, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, I loved it. I think the Blackhawks kicked their ass a little more than you're giving them credit for. I mean, they pretty much owned them in that game, except the beginning of the third period. I remember Detroit fucking dominated their ass, but there's one thing Detroit is missing. It is Lidstrom and Holmstrom out there.
I thought they looked old, the Red Wings. And they,
yeah, on they the back end. I mean, yeah. You know what? But their team started with their back end before. Even though Lidstrom was as old as he was, the guy was still top three defenseman in the fucking league. And it was ridiculous. And I give the guy so much credit for retiring when, because he could have stuck around until he was terrible and people told him to leave. Instead, he was still one of the best guys around, and he retired. But I love watching Blackhawk Red Wing games because the Hawks and Wings play the same type of game, and they skate together, and they play real fucking hockey. It's none of this other bullshit. You know, every once in a while you might see some, you know, little cheap shot here and there, but there's not, I mean, yeah, there's a rivalry, but it's not fucking Chicago, Vancouver pulling your hair bullshit, you know? Yeah, you know, you got a couple Swedish meatballs that piss you off, which Andy fucking made me piss myself, man. I'm talking to Andy on Twitter. I was like, and I think it was, I got them mixed up. I think it was, what the hell happened to Zetterberg? I was like, what the fuck? Did he get shot? Yeah. Did he get shot or have a fucking stroke or something? Or or his appendix blow up? And he's like, no, you mean the other Swedish meatball, Franzen. <Like, laughs> Yep, that's him.
Boy. As we've been doing
it's
the
not,
show.
It, don't worry, it's not racist. Nobody cares you're talking shit about the Swedes.
No, I don't care. It's fine. No, I just want to get stuff before I forget. So I still have Comcast, obviously, because that's the channel the game was on here tonight. And they were showing some highlights of, I guess, some kind of hockey tournament or something going on at Soldier Field. So they've built an ice rink there.
Yeah.
Which looked kind of cool. They were showing the Tony O and a couple of the Blackhawk ambassadors there for whatever reason. I don't understand. But they were there, so maybe potentially another Winter Classic could come here and have it there as opposed to Wrigley Field. That could be exciting. But I guess there also was the potential interference of the Bears with the playoffs, of course. LOL. We're all laughing at that possibility, I know. But also, they were showing a commercial. I guess it's one of those, like, I have the sound off. I couldn't hear what they were saying. But they were showing the players, like, signing. You know, the Hawks are doing that giveaway, Mike, where they're giving away, like, sticks and pucks to the
God,
X amount of
so
fans.
Easy.
Okay. So it's a commercial where they're showing, like, the players, like, you know, like, it's Patrick Kane signing a stick or something like that. And then, you know, they flash to each player signing something. And then, of course, they have the sound off and they're talking. But it's probably just saying, hey, we're back or whatever the hell they're saying or apologizing, whatever it is. And then they're showing, like, Jay Blunk, like, washing the glass, you know, like, washing. He is washing the glass down there.
He has never done that before.
Exactly. He's washing the almost. Well, yeah. He's down there washing the glass, and there's a shot of McDonough like in the locker room with a couple guys. Like it looks stupid, but something to keep an eye out there. All right.
I saw that lineup in the locker room that they showed, which of course nobody was standing in the Indian head. The only guy that nobody would know out of face who speaks all the time. Scott Bowman was in there. And that's the only guy that I know. Some people are saying, well, who's that guy?
Oh, my God in heaven.
Yeah, it was, you know, who was in that? Stan, Scott.
Yes, Stan was in it. Yeah.
It was McCubb and Blunk, Taves, yeah. Kane, and who else?
Seabrook was in it. Keith was in it that I saw. Yeah. So I think I was talking during the time we were, and I just happened to look up and see it.
The only one I had to look at twice, I'm looking like, it's got to be Scott Bowman. And he don't look as old as he is, which kind of makes me want him to coach his fucking team still.
Wow. Before we move on to the next game, so they're showing the highlights of apparently some kind of collegiate tournament, so some kind of collegiate hockey action being played at Soldier Field. And they showed Stan Mikita in, like, a mink coat-looking thing, basically like what Kramer wore in an episode of Seinfeld, one of these huge fur coats. It looked extremely bizarre. I don't know how he got that. But, okay, moving on. Let's go over to January 30th, to a more recent game, against the Minnesota Wild. The final score was 3-2 with the Wild winning in a shootout. Blackhawk goals in this game scored by Shaw and Taves. No fights in this game either. Hawks outshot the Wild 32-25. Once again, Corey Crawford got the start in the net. Hawks called for 4 penalties in this game compared to 2 for the Wild. Hawks had 6 players finish at a minus 1. Once again, Michael Folik with a team high of shots. He had 6 in this game.
Damn.
Yeah, I wanted to read a quick quote, if I could, from Mike Yeo, who is the goofy-looking coach of the Wild, who we referenced earlier in the podcast. He says, quote, "We're not there yet by any means, but this team has shown that when we're playing our game, we can play with anybody. Scratch that. We can beat anybody," Coach Mike Yeo said.
Shut up.
He goes on to say, "We spent very little time tonight talking about Chicago. This game was about ourselves." End quote.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a pretty obvious sign that Chicago is on the subconscious of everybody. Our team, everyone knows that we have the best team in the league and we're the gold standard. That's basically what that dumbass just said.
They have one line and two set of defensemen. That's what they got. They got one line.
And I tell you what, they played.
And the Hawks rolled 4 games. Lines.
Think about it, Mike. They played their balls out. That was their game 7, bam, against the Hawks. Because guess what? They're at home. They have to justify the Parisi and Sutter signings. All that bullshit. Every team, you know, see, here's the thing with the Hawks, and this is the problem of being a Chicago Blackhawk. It's like, I'm going to compare it to Michael Jordan. Guys, Michael Jordan, everywhere he went, he was going to get the best. I don't care if you were the last place team, you're bringing your best. And that's what made Michael Jordan so damn special, is that every team put up his best against him. That's what it's like to be a Blackhawk now.
And they did it. And they also did it when he played with Washington.
Wait, what'd you say?
They also did it when he played with Washington when they had time to beat his ass.
Yeah, when he's like at stake. but hey, fellas, man, that game against Minnesota, it was fast paced. I mean, seriously though.
And they, it wasn't the typical time.
We spent the entire time on a fucking penalty kill, Mike. Seriously, we spent what, 80 minutes on kill? I don't know, being an ass, but we spent the entire fucking second period on a penalty kill, at least.
I can't say enough about the penalty kill with the Hawks. I mean, wow.
Michael Frolik, who I call the caveman. You know I've been hard on him. You know I don't like him. I don't like Marcus Kruger. We want to get rid of these two fuckers.
You've been wanting to like Kruger since they got him, though.
Well, hang on. All right. You busted me there. I am a Kruger fan. Been following him since he's been back in his little sweet sleep. He likes donuts. He needs to be patted on the head, rubbed on his back. He'll be fine. But here's the deal. Michael Frolik. I got it right here on my notes. I was so happy that you guys asked me to come back because I wanted to just basically tell you guys over the air, Michael fucking Frolik. What the fuck? He's awesome. Penalty kill. He fucking hauls us off every damn shift. Yeah, I don't shit if he's fucking firing pucks from fucking 100 feet out. I really don't care. He's putting so much pressure with his speed on the opposing line. Like Eddie Olczyk said the other night, he's finally on his roll.
His defense has fucking impressed me. I'll give him that. And you know what? He's not a big guy at all, is he? How big is he?
What a bunch of shit this is.
What?
Oh, so I'm sorry. I'm reading Twitter. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with Bolin. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt your discussion. I'm sorry. But,
I like that part of personality.
Come on, who's a piece of shit? Fill it.
Okay, so first of all, okay, on Bolin. So this is a quote I'm seeing on Twitter from the Sun-Times reporter. It says, "Q on Bolin, lower body, will know more tomorrow. He got hit, but no complaints after seeing the replay. So they're going to reevaluate tomorrow. It seems like some of the other people seem to think this might be a serious injury, but we'll find out. And they don't think there's any kind of dirty play involved. But this bullshit that we talked about, the Letty thing. So this is what he said on Letty. Cue on picking Letty in shootout. Quote, he's deceiving and he's familiar with it as well. We've been looking for some guys to break through in that area over the last couple of years. God. It's been kind of
a shootout. Jesus.
It's been kind of a sore spot. I think he deserved a chance. End quote. So that's his reasoning for picking Letty.
You know what I think that was in? Him, Mike, and he, him. You guys want to turn me out real quick? Want to know why he was out there? Because Q does not want anything to do with him, but yet the fucking brass of the Hawks are trying to market him as the next great defenseman, right? So he threw him out there as a fucking joke. That's what I think. There's absolutely no reason for Nick Letty to be out there ahead of Marian Holt.
I sure as fuck hope you're right, because that sounds so ridiculous. I hope you're right. If that's the case, then Rocky better fire McCubb right now.
That's what I'm saying, man. What I'm saying is McDonough put him out there as a fucking retarded joke. There's no reason. Look at the fucking shiny man. Longo. Come on, man.
Marketing has nothing to do with winning. When it comes to marketing, you know what? Marketing should not be involved in winning at all. You've got so many fucking guys in this team that could win that shootout.
There's absolutely no reason why he should have been out there.
You've had two shootouts this year, and I've questioned, even last year with Quenneville. You know, that's why I don't buy it, that it's marketing. Why in the fuck could Quenneville never use Hossa last year as number three? Is he fucking partially retarded? What's wrong with Quenneville? You see Hossa is the most deceiving guy you'll see. I mean, he is top three shootout of any fucking team in the NHL.
Mike, he just told us Nick Letty's deceiving.
Well, you know what?
Maybe he's fucking high, this guy, I'm telling you.
Maybe I'm stupid because I'm no NHL coach. But seriously, though, I say, how the fuck did you get rid of it? Yeah, I mean, which one is it? Is McCubb running the team or is Quenneville retarded?
Well,
McCubb's on team, Mike. We all know that. McCubb's running the team.
Well,
that's what makes it bad.
One also thing I saw, maybe Andy, your memory might be better than mine. One thing I saw, David Kaplan tweeted on Twitter, of course, that Hossa has not scored in the shootout since 2010. Now, granted, obviously, if he's not used very often, he's not going to score in the shootout, but I wonder if there's something there with that. And a lot of folks online complaining about Patrick Sharp using the same move all the time in the shootout, which I would agree with as well. He doesn't seem to have any...
I remember this. I was at this game 2 years ago. It was the first time in like 25 years or something, or 20 years, that the Blackhawks scored at the United Center on a penalty shot. And I don't even remember who the hell the Hawks were playing, but I had my wife and two of my kids at the time. We're at the game, and Marian Hossa scored on a penalty shot, one-on-one with the goalie. And I was screaming.
That's when he was with Detroit, right?
No, he was with the Hawks. He scored for the Hawks.
Okay.
No, you're thinking in 2009, or it might have been 2008, in a shootout against Javi Bulin, when he just took a fucking slap shot.
I was at that game. I saw that game.
I was right there, too.
I was there in my seats. I was there with a friend of mine, and he said, just fucking watch this guy. The game's over. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, just fucking watch this guy. Sure enough, like you said, Mike, he stopped. I was at, like, I don't know, maybe like the face-off circle, like height level. He just blasted one right by him.
He just wound up, he took a slap shot, and he told Javi Bulin, here, take it. And he blew it right by him. And of course, the way Hossa does things, it looked like no effort whatsoever. But it was probably a 105-mile-an-hour slap shot.
So before we get to the recapping the game against the Canucks here, a few more apparently gems here from Coach Q on Twitter. Speaking on tonight's loss here, 2-1 loss to Vancouver in a shootout, he says, quote, I like the way we played from start to finish. I measure our team game by what we gave up. That's what he says. And then also on Saad, he says this, quote, I thought he had a special game. He was a monster around the puck. I really enjoyed his game watching.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah, he enjoyed watching him play, but not enough to watch him some more when it counted.
Why don't we have somebody?
Well, you know,
why don't we have somebody talk about Quenneville's
go, Mike.
Coach? You know what, Quenneville? I don't think. I mean, but the shootout, I think it's stupid, but the Hawks should be able to win a shootout 60% of the time with the talent they got. I don't give a fuck who they're playing. If you got the right lineup, but you put out, all right, you can put out Taze and Kane. You should. But after that, if you can't, you got so much talent, you can't figure out who your fucking third guy is, why the fuck are you coaching this team?
Well, his third guy is Sharp. He just never scores on the shootout. there's not a mystery as to who the guys are going to be. It's just, that's his guy.
It's so obvious. Hossa, I mean, you give Taves the first shot every time because you're captain. Yeah.
Well,
Hossa
goes you also give him that first shot because he's the best scores in the league. The yeah. He's over 50%.
Well, he didn't score, but he didn't go five hole this time. But the thing that cracks me up about Taves, when he's gonna go in a shootout, 80% of the time I would say on a guess, he's gonna score and he's going to go five hole, and somehow he fools everybody to think he's not doing it, but he does it anyway. Kane, you know, he'll do something fucking different every time, but like Taves, he's got the same damn move, and he will go in the same spot and get it on every damn goalie at some point through the year. But the third spot, I mean, fuck. I mean, yeah, if Boland wasn't hurt, you know, Boland is another one. Boland is a real crafty fucker with that puck. And nobody talks about it. But obviously, in your top three, there's no reason why Marian Hossa should not be there. And if Marian Hossa is that guy that says, no, I don't want to do it, just tell him, fuck you, you're top salary cap hit guy. Which I don't think that's the case. I can't see Marian Hossa saying, no, I don't want to do it. I think it's Quenneville just being a fucking idiot.
Agreed. So let's, I guess, we kind of talked about it a lot, but just quickly talk about a couple quick numbers here from tonight's game. So we mentioned earlier, 2-1 loss to Canucks in the shootout. The lone Blackhawks goal in the game scored by Patrick Kane. No fights in this game. The Hawks outshot the Canucks 28-22. Corey Crawford, once again, got the start in net. I'm guessing we'll probably see Ray Emery tomorrow, but maybe not. That doesn't seem like they have a lot of confidence in him. Hawks called for 5 penalties in this game compared to 6 for Vancouver. The Blackhawks were out-hit in this game 22-6 by Vancouver.
That's not good.
No, well, usually I don't toss that number in. You know, it's weird because now what I've done is after the game I'll go and I'll look at the box score and just try to pick out some things that seem interesting to talk about and I'll just throw them in a Word file. So tonight I just went to the NHL.com and I took their box score. And they have all the hits and stuff like that in there. But when the Blackhawks post the box score on their website, they take out hits and a lot of other stats. So usually I don't talk about hits, but the Hawks are kind of always out hit. As you know, Andy pointed out, they're more of a skating finesse team than a hitting team. They don't have anybody to hit back.
They were built so much different as like me and Andy were growing up. They were hitting first and everything else second. Am I right, Andy?
Well, that was the Pulford era, yeah.
Dirk Graham. Gotta love Dirk Graham.
Yeah.
Dirk Graham punched people in the face.
My boy Steve Smith. Knock your teeth out before you let you get that buck.
I tell you what, Steve Smith, as far as the Canadian Hockey Hall of Fame, Steve Smith, he was a long time Blackhawk. You know, he was paired up with Chelios. But, you know, the whole debacle with him, you know, putting that goal. You know, you get what I'm talking We accidentally scored a team. But Steve Smith was a factory defenseman. He was the big hitter, Chalio, finesse, and I mean, God. Anyways, sorry, got emotional.
Well, you know, one thing about tonight, which I didn't talk about much, and I didn't talk about the last game, and me and Andy have been really tough on Corey Crawford. You know, there's times where Corey Crawford doesn't know where the puck is, and somebody else saves his ass. But you know what? You got to understand, as a fan, this part of the game, which every other goalie goes through that, and we don't really notice as much. But Corey Crawford has, you know, besides shootout, that he's played a hell of a goalie for us. I'll give him that. I'm not going to bash Corey Crawford. You know, he still looks a little timid at times, but you know what? Look at the facts. He's had one bad game that I can remember, and they still won it. But he's been pretty damn solid, as far as I can see. I'm not going to bash Crawford at all. I mean, for what they got, yeah, obviously they got to stick with him. And you're not just going to call somebody up and make a big difference, but I like Corey Crawford as a goalie right now. All right, that's too much silence.
No, you know, I'm sorry. I thought Andy was going to jump in. I've actually got...
So was I.
No, I thought he was going to jump in. I've actually got two other things I want to switch gears for. Go back to Crawford here for a second. I read the quote from Q earlier.
Did Andy drop off again?
Andy, are you there on the line?
No, with I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here, fellas.
Open your fucking mouth, man.
Yeah, we can hear you just fine. Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
No. I just didn't want to interrupt with Mike's obvious love affair with Corey Crawford. So it was
it's not
beautiful.
A love affair. He's been a nice goalie. Can you?
Bullshit.
I want to hear your difference.
Bullshit. Go ahead.
All right.
You want to hear it now? Or,
I want to hear it. I said what I was going to say.
Yeah. Corey Crawford fucking sucks monkey balls. I'm going to tell you why. He never has ever come up with the big save. He can never ever win the game. He's just mediocre. He is fantastic if we have a fucking iron curtain in front of him. If fucking Johnny Oduya and Yarden is picking up for fucking Seabrook and Keith, my God, Corey Crawford might have a good game. I'm sorry, he sucks.
I'm not saying he's going to win you a Stanley Cup by winning games in the finals for you. He's played good for the Hawks. I'm not saying he's your guy for the Cup.
Come on, man.
All I'm saying is for this season so far, he's played pretty well. I'm not saying he's your guy. He's no Tim Thomas. He's not going to steal a cup for you. Which Tim Thomas fucking won that cup for the Bruins, but Crawford ain't going to do that. All I'm saying is right now, this year, Corey Crawford's played pretty damn well, and I'm not complaining that much. I mean, for the talent the Hawks have on defense and offense, for the regular season, they should be good. Unless they can figure out a way to score tons of points in the finals, which is really hard to do. You know, you can't guarantee a Stanley Cup winner. You know, I'm still not saying he's your Stanley Cup goalie, by all means. But he's played pretty well. I'll give him that.
Ditto, Mike.
You're a nice guy. You are such a nice guy.
I'm not a nice guy. Do you see? You know what? Oh, speaking of being a nice guy, this Canucks fan that was... busting balls with me back and forth tonight. He's actually all right. He's not the typical, Canuck fucking moron. He talked a little bit of shit, but he laughed at my fucking joke where I said, he's trying to say Burroughs will fight sometimes, because I put a tweet out there and said, yeah, too bad Burroughs is a little bitch and he ain't going to fight Bolig. He's like, oh, he fights sometimes, and he said, you know, Keith's a cheap shot and bitch. I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. I'm like, no. I said, Burroughs just takes the advice of Vancouver fans, just goes and lights somebody's car on fire afterward. He actually laughed at it. But this guy, what's his name? Where is he? Frankie Phil, FRANKIE underscore FI. What the hell is it? LI? Yeah, FI LI.
There's complicated names out there. My God.
Oh, my, I'm fucking drunk and my eyes are cross-eyed.
Oh. Well, let me
see. FILI. Anyway, he's all right. I mean, hey, Canucks fan, he's got some shit against him. He was all right to talk to during the game.
All right, let me.
Some balls back and forth.
Let me also get to this, because this might go back to the Corey Crawford discussion you guys were just having about whether or not he sucks monkey ass or whatever Andy said he does. So Q again talked about his reasoning behind doing it, and we talked about the basic quote. But basically, he says this. He's been good at it every time we go in our team scrimmage or our team games and down in Rockford. So he's basing this off what he's seeing in practice when he's going up against Crawford and Emery, and then what he's doing in Rockford. So, I mean, now I understand if he never gets a chance to do it in the NHL, then you don't know what he can do in the NHL. So I understand at some point he's got to be given an opportunity. I do understand that. But fourth. No, I will. There's no justification for that move in my mind. And lastly, while you guys were speaking about Crawford, I was trying to confirm the validity of this person on Twitter, and it seems to be a legit reporter for a Vancouver newspaper. So I will read it, even though it to me it sounds fake. But what the hell? I'll read it anyway. This gentleman he is a reporter for the sports writer covering the Canucks for the Vancouver province. He says, this is a quote attributed to Luongo on seeing Taves, Kane, and Sharp lining up for the shootout. Quote, I think I pooped myself a little there before the shootout when I saw all those guys.
Dude, these are guys that actually, like, respect Don Cherry, okay? Taves and Kane belong in a shootout.
Don Cherry, you say?
Yeah. They respect him, so that's. These are also the assholes. Or what are they saying? Well, the Cup should go to a junior team if the NHL don't play. What was the other thing? Don Cherry was bitching about something.
He's always bitching about something.
When Team USA Juniors beat Canada, he was saying the USA shouldn't be allowed to play in Canada because it's Canadian League. They were teaching them how to play, and now they beat them. So, you know what? Yeah. Take that with a grain of salt, stupid-ass Canadian. People are taking away your hockey from you. Now you're getting pissed. You're not the best. The Russians proved that when you guys got punched in the face. Oops. That's a sore subject.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I will watch that over and over again. I watch classic hockey. And I'll see that on there. And I see the Canadians crying about it when the Russians were playing dirty and the Russians beat their ass. And then when I think they beat the Swedes, but the Swedes literally beat the fuck out of them. I mean, they knew they couldn't beat them, skill of a game and all that. But you got, I forget the captain of that team, I forget his name, but he referred to him, one of those idiot Swedes put a stick in his mouth. But, yeah, Canada is real fucking sensitive when it comes to that shit, and they all follow Don Cherry. And if you know what, you take advice of Don Cherry, then your credibility with hockey goes down with me.
Uh-oh.
I don't care if he's from Canada or not.
Mm.
Got news for you, Canada. You don't rule hockey anymore.
That's funny.
It started when American hockey players started doing really well. Whether you train them or not, hey, they're good. And now they beat your ass in juniors. Uh-oh.
Interesting. Interesting discussion.
That's all right.
No, I'm trying to
usually figure out. I'm usually the one tweeting on the Gloves Off podcast.
No, I know. I'm just trying to figure out where all that came from.
Ian does. No, but I want to get to, like, legendary status, like Barry Rosner. Barry Rosner has a hate club from Vancouver, and they really want him dead. I'd like to get to that level, and I won't because I don't have, you know, a regular radio station station to be on, and I don't have a column, but
yeah, exactly. He's got a bigger form than you do. Certainly,
I love Barry Posner for his for his hockey talk and for the way he can just manipulate and piss people off.
Well,
anyway,
all right then. Andy, do you have any other Rockford nuggets or information you want to share with our listeners, or is there anything?
Well, you know, the Rockford team is definitely struggling. They've lost more than they like in the last couple of weeks, and I wish I could have a bunch to say about them. But maybe the guys going north have definitely taken a toll. But the one thing that I'm excited about, and I know he's listening, I hope he's listening, is Ben Smith. Ben Smith is where, you know, Brandon Saad is on the top line. And you know, Brandon Saad had a really nice game tonight. He played really well. But I'm sorry, as far as the whole fucking scheme goes, he's not ready. He should be down in the fucking minors. If Ben Smith didn't get his little hand hurt in that fist fight, he's exactly what the Hawks need, and he's a missing link. I mean, although tonight, you know, Brandon had a nice night, but I'm sorry. He ain't showing me it enough.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think you should be as rough on Saad as you are. Smith has been up here before, and he didn't show that much.
I think he's just a fourth line plugger, Smith, to me. But maybe I haven't said enough.
Yeah,
that's just kind of my view. Just the fourth line guy, kind of get out there, kind of. Yeah, I think people kind of have a little more, some memories of him because I think he scored a game winner against either Vancouver or Detroit in a big game, a couple big games, and there's a little bit of that kind of right place, right time. You're a small guy like that, but. I would think if and or when he ever does come back up, it's going to be third or fourth line. I don't think unless there's some kind of rash of injuries or Quenneville just goes to his random line crater, then I don't think you'd ever see Smith on a top two line.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you the truth. With the way I see Quenneville going these days, no matter what it's about, whether it's fucking promotions or McCubb or whatever, or Quenneville on his own, either he's a puppet or he's a fucking idiot. And I don't like the way Quenneville's coaching at all with shootouts when it comes to desperate times in the game. Yeah, you know what? You got a point. And if we had Ken on the show right now, Ken would be fucking flipping his lid right now because the Hawks got a point for losing. Which I can't blame him because you know what? He's got a fucking point. Baseball, football, basketball, nobody gets an extra point for going to overtime.
Well, nobody else gets points outside of...
Yeah.
Outside of hockey, no points. This we all you won the game or you lost the game. Yeah.
You don't get credit. You win or you lose. I mean, and Pat Foley's even hinted at it in certain games, and not even Pat Foley, but national broadcasters. When it comes down to the last minute or two of the game, they kind of hint toward it, and you see it in the game where guys are just pretty much icing the puck. Because they decide, all right, well, we played tough enough, and we played a tough game, and we're both gonna get a point out of this. I've seen that happen. I've seen it in the Hawk games, I've seen it in national games, and you see it the last couple minutes. Teams will end up dying down, and they just decide, all right, well, we're gonna get this point, and we're going overtime. Someone's gonna get two, and I'm starting to like it much less. I would rather have two 5-minute overtime periods. That wasn't me.
All right.
I would much rather have 2 5-minute overtime periods and a 4-on-4. And you know what? It's win, lose, or tie. You get a point if you tie. Both teams, whatever. There's 2 points to give up. And that's it. I'd rather have it that way. But Ken's got another point that I don't care about, where he says, who wants to go to a game where nobody wins? Well, you kind of contradict that. Then you know what? You need to give another point. You need to make 3 points available per game. And a team that wins gets 2 more. But I'd still rather have it to where there's 2 points or nothing.
All right. Well, they could always go to a 4-on-4. Well, I know at one point there was the idea floated. They would do a 4-on-4 for 5 or 10 minutes, and then you go to a 3-on-3, which I think would do it. Or
I like that. Yeah.
Well, they could do that, or hey, maybe they can go crazy, and they could bring out a wider net in overtime. Well, won't that make it more fun for the fans, huh? They'll be rooting for overtime then. They're going to bring out the bigger net. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Oh, shit. After the next strike, there'll be a fucking wider net or something.
Well, you never know.
Or
well, I don't know. The fans are
betting on a goalie. They'll do something.
The fans are coming back in droves. All right. I think we've kind of gone through all of our game discussion. Is there any, I don't know, last-minute rants or cursings you have to get out of you? Get off your legal pad there, Mike?
No, I'm not angry yet. I mean, you know, Hawks haven't had a legit loss yet. You got a point in both games, so I'm not going to complain too much. I pretty much said what I have to say, and whatever I didn't say, I'll remember about 10 minutes after we get off the air, so.
Okay. Well, let's give out our Twitter information. Mike, we have a show Twitter account, do we not, sir?
Yes, we do. And you can find me or Ian there, one of us, at Gloves Off Radio.
That's right. I also have my own account if anyone wants to get hold of me personally for whatever reason, IanMartin15. Andy, you also have a Twitter account, do you not, sir?
I do, BHawk17.
Excellent. Is it Beaks 1-7 or 0-7?
What?
Because I tweeted you earlier, and I thought it was 0-1-7.
Yes. B-Hawk.
Yeah, 0-1-7. Yeah, correct. Yeah, B-Hawks 0-1-7.
That's it. Okay. Yeah.
According to the...
Yes. If he's going to follow you, you're going to be strictly business. Because I had my personal account before, and I used to do just a bunch of shit. And he would tell me, dude, I got to follow you. I do my shit for sports. You're talking a bunch of bullshit.
Hey, man, handle my shit like you. Don't give me a hard time.
Oh, I was going to give you a hard time. Wouldn't be fun, then.
I know. No shit, man. You know I love you.
All right. I don't have any more beer.
You're out of beer, so I guess that's the signal to wrap it up then. Is it now?
No, I do, but I got to get up and get it.
It's probably time to wrap it up then.
All right.
Yeah, so we should probably be back in maybe a week or so. I don't know how many games we got kind of on the horizon here. I'll check the schedule real quickly. They got a game, obviously, Saturday night against Calgary. Then they got one Tuesday and then one Thursday. It's only a couple games, so... We can try to come back late over the weekend or maybe early part of next week. And then I guess see what happens from there. So any final words, guys, before we close it out? Or?
No, not. I'm not too angry. I'm still happy with where the Hawks are at right now. It's a nice start. I think when it comes to shootout, they could have done much better. And I'm still, like I said, I'd kind of pissed because I don't know if it's the coaching or I don't know. You know what? Letty could have been in there because of marketing, because they want to trade him. It could have been. I don't know.
Either way,
if that was Quenneville's loan decision, he's a fucking idiot. Like I said, I mean, I don't have to explain it to you guys. You guys know there is a lot of talent in this team. And there's plenty of guys better than Patrick Sharp or Nick fucking Letty on the shootout. One of them happens to be a guy.
Amen, brother. I think everybody in America agrees with you, but here's the deal. Sometimes you just gotta eat shit, you know?
Well, they certainly did that. They certainly did that tonight. I guess one real quick final question before we go, because it's getting a little bit late. We saw the injury tonight to Dave Boland, and obviously we don't know at this point if it's a real serious thing or just in a couple games or a couple weeks, whatever it is. What do you think they're going to do with regards to the lineup if Boland is indeed, you know, severely injured?
Oh, Jesus. Sharp on the center.
You know, it seems like he is very adamant about not wanting to play center. Do you think they'll try to move Kane back to center?
No, it'll be Sharp.
No, they've had plenty of chances to do Sharp, but he says he doesn't want to do center. He's not comfortable there.
Yeah, he don't want to, but he's better at center than Kane is.
Yeah, well, then why do you think they were trying Kane at center? Then why do you think they were doing that experiment if Sharp said he didn't want to do it?
Yeah, seeing if he'd be any better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they would.
Kane, they should know it too. Kane's much better as floating around waiting for somebody to fuck up. That's what he does. If you really watch Kane, he don't really play with the rest of the guys. He pretty much floats around and waits for somebody to fuck up. That's what he does. That's why I don't play much defense. Sorry.
That's okay.
He does at times, but you watch Kane out there. If you're sitting up there, any game you watch him, and he's pretty much, I mean, kind of like a fucking free agent. I mean, he just, there's a game going on, and Kane's just, like, using his vision, waiting for somebody to fuck up. That's what he's out there for. And you're not really supposed to do it as a center, especially when the puck goes loose and going out of your end.
Yeah, he's kind of got his own definition how to play.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess in summary, time will tell, see what they do. Hopefully it's not Patrick Kane back at center. I don't want to see that.
I get a feeling it'd be Sharp. I mean, if somebody wants to do something or not, I pretty much think you got to tell them if they're making so much money, it is what you're doing.
I don't know. So
usually you got somebody above you.
Yeah, but well, as I said, he seemed to be extremely reluctant to doing it in the past, even when they needed him. So I guess we shall see what goes down. All right, so...
Jamal Mayer's be playing a lot more.
Oh, there you go. Hey, tough guy, Jamal Mayer's in there. Maybe we'll see a little uptick in fights, fisticuffs.
Yeah, he won't be on the second line.
Well, he can be on the losing end of a fight. We can talk about it for 30 seconds. There you go. No offense. I don't want to see him injured by a punt.
I don't know. The way Hossa played in that power play, fucking put him at center.
There you go. Okay. Hossa to center. Zorich to linebacker. Hossa to center. Okay. That's right. Yeah. Locker to safety. All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap it down here. Andy, do you have any final thoughts you need to get off your chest here before we go?
No, you know, it's. I guess Hossa is definitely a piker, so hey, that's it.
Very well.
All right, hurry up, I got a piss.
Well.
Exactly. All right,
pussy.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening. You can find our show on glovesoff.podomatic.com. Or if you want to download the show automatically, just go to iTunes, go into the store, and just search for Gloves Off Radio. You can subscribe. It'll download automatically to your podcast section, and you'll be all set. So, with that, we're signing off. See ya.
See ya. Thanks for listening.